came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe."
Thank you. come and share with us another thing that the resurrection of Jesus from the dead accomplishes in salvation and in our lives.
There's a fairly recent TV commercial, perhaps you've seen it, that says, "I think I finally found my hallelujah." Well, my hallelujah cannot be bought with money, will not come to an end after about 2 weeks. My hallelujah will never end. It will consist of a lot more than sitting in the sun, getting a back rub, or playing golf. My hallelujah lives forever, has conquered death in the grave, gives purpose and meaning to life, and loves me unconditionally. So I ask you this morning, who or what are you singing hallelujah about? If your hallelujah is like mine, it is found in the person of Jesus Christ. We have much to rejoice about. So why rejoice? What did God accomplish at the resurrection? Here's something that perhaps we wouldn't naturally think of. The Father affirmed that all the elements of our propitiation were right, proper, and effective. Now, to better understand propitiation, that's a big word, think of it this way. It is the wrath of God being placed on Jesus, who didn't deserve it, and not on us who did. Romans 3 gives a gospel context of propitiation, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood, through faith to demonstrate his righteousness. And the verse ends with, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. So first we see God is a God of justice. Sin must be judged. The penalty for breaking God's command must be paid. God can't just overlook it, because then he would no longer be just. In the first few chapters of Romans, Paul makes the argument that everyone, Jew and Gentile alike, is under the condemnation of God and deserving of his wrath. It says, "But the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and righteousness. Then, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." All of us deserve his wrath and punishment. God, in his infinite grace and mercy, has provided a way that his wrath can be appeased and we can be reconciled to him. Man is totally incapable of satisfying God's justice. There is no service, sacrifice, or gift that man can offer that will appease the holy wrath of God or satisfy his perfect justice. However, the Bible teaches that God himself has provided the only means through which his wrath can be appeased and sinful man can be reconciled to him. This is called propitiation. In the New Testament, the act of propitiation always refers to the work of God and not the sacrifice of gifts offered by man. The only satisfaction or propitiation that could be acceptable to God and that could reconcile man to him had to be made by God. 1 Thessalonians 5 tells us, "God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him." So in summary, the Bible teaches that God himself has provided the only means through which his wrath can be appeased and sinful man can be reconciled to him. So we see in the resurrection, the Father affirmed that all the elements of our propitiation were right, proper, and effective. God's justice has been satisfied because it's required by God. God has met it. It's nothing that we can add to. Secondly and briefly, we see that God is a God of love. Not only is he a God of justice, but a God of love. God the Son, Jesus Christ, came into the world in human flesh to be the perfect sacrifice for sin, and Hebrews tells us, to make atonement or propitiation for the sins of the people. Why did he do this? Because he loved us. The wonderful truth of the gospel is this, that you as an individual can be saved from God's wrath and reconciled to God. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. 1 John 4 tells us that. Jesus lovingly laid down his life for us. As Jesus looked down from the cross, what did he see? The Roman soldiers gambling for his clothing. One of the criminals reviling him, mocking him. The religious leaders mocking him. The crowd blaspheming him. And what did he do? Just a few moments before that, he had said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He was loving people from the cross. Because God loved us, all the aspects of propitiation have been correctly completed and made available to you and I. We see that our sin has been forgiven, the penalty of our sin has been paid, God's justice is met, and his wrath appeased. So in closing, without a penalty being paid for sin, God could never have been called just if he had merely forgiven us. But because of God's love for us, he sought our best interest, despite our wicked nature. So God provided Jesus Christ, our Savior and Redeemer, the perfect and eternal sacrifice. God's love and justice are reconciled in Jesus. Not only is Jesus our propitiation, but he took our guilt and shame as well with him, and we stand in his righteousness before God. So my question to you today is, how are you standing before God? Forgiven, I think.
Amen.
John 20, 26 to 31. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, Peace to you. Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger.